Good morning, everybody. Martin Zender again from North Carolina. Barn cam. One day delayed talking to you, so this is actually the morning after my address at the church in Faith. And to those who were trying to get to the event, there's a GPS glitch thing. Some phones, some satellites will get you to this place, some won't. One side of the street is in Faith, North Carolina. The other side of the street is a Salisbury address. It's really screwy, and some people didn't get to the event. I had no idea there was an issue. It was never brought up to me that there was an issue, so I apologize today for those who tried to get there and didn't. I was kind of sick about that, but I can't do everything, right? Anyway, I'm going to record a show with Waylon this afternoon, and I'm going to air that on Monday. Waylon Dabbs, my host here, so watch for that on Monday. You have that to look forward to. Many great people here came to the meeting, those whose GPS is worked, and we had a nice little get-together at the house afterwards. And I'm going to tell you a question that was asked of me, and I think the answer will be instructive and encouraging for all of us. This will be the last day I give you some little inside baseball about my walk, things God has done and continues to do. I'm always astounded still that we don't walk by blind faith. We talk a lot about faith, 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 but faith is an assurance concerning things which are not being observed. They're just not being observed. Doesn't mean they don't exist. God knows that our faith needs help, and so He made sure that His word and His testimony got recorded, right? People wrote it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, James, Paul. They all wrote it down, and God miraculously preserved it. And we had resurrections in the past, and these were verified, and these were witnessed. And it is important for us to know this, because we do not pin our hopes on some vague dream, on something that might happen. No, we have expectation. Faith is an expectation. And so I'm thankful to God for the fact that He knows that we need help, and He knows that we would all be so discouraged if we didn't have some kind of something happen once in a while. I'm not talking about a miracle happening. I'm just talking about God connecting people. And I feel this way every time I get together with the saints. I feel this way, and I thank God, and I see for real there's a common mind with all of us. It's so strange that people get together, as several people I've never met before. And when we get together, we all know each other. There's this inherent instinctive knowledge because we're all connected to the same mind. This is a common theme here in the last days. I'll share that question with you in a minute. But let's go back to my newsletter I was talking to you about yesterday, called the Idle Babbler Illustrated. A little bit of satire there. And some of my most joyous days were sitting at the kitchen table with my family, putting that newsletter together. That was the days before I emailed anything, and we would put together 600 physical copies of my six-page newsletter, which I lived the dream. That vision I had in the woods came to pass. I got this computer, I put together a newsletter, and I had this, sorry, the wind's blowing here, about blowing my camera down. I had this clip art program that was very primitive, and it just had a few clip arts, and I had to be very creative with the graphics that I had, which made for a fun time. It made for some pretty interesting connections with the illustrations. But anyway, people loved it. That's the bottom line here. It connected with old and young. It was unbelievable when it hit the scene. And you know, whenever you talk about hitting the scene, you're not talking about the Beatles coming to America in 1964. This is a grassroots thing. It's a small thing. I said I mailed to 600 people. You know, who's counting? But, you know, I told you many times, I'd be surprised, shocked, if there were 5,000 people alive today in the body of Christ. 5,000 people alive. I know there are many more who have died in Christ. But people connected with reality in this newsletter, people connected with honesty, people connected with transparency, people connected with weakness, And I always come to you in weakness, every single show that I make. And I have to credit somebody today, and I'll do it right here on the video. Dean Huff, publisher of Unsearchable Riches magazine, a magazine that was started by A.E. Nock and Vladimir Gelasnov in 1909. And Dean Huff had met A.E. Nock back in 65, I think, the year of his death. And anyway, Dean Huff made his mailing list available to me. That's a dangerous thing for anybody to do, because you never know. Is this Zender guy going to go rogue someday? You know, can this guy be counted on? Can he be trusted with these names of these people? But I owe him a lot for that. It was a bold move of his. And I like to think that today he hasn't regretted it. I thank God for Dean Huff. And I thank God for my family, my wife and my three kids, who we would sit at the kitchen table together or the dining room table. And we had an assembly line, putting the stickers on, putting the stamps on, folding it, putting the little sticky tab at the bottom. I looked at every name. We looked at every name of every address label. And it's like, thank God for every individual person. It's not like some nameless, faceless crowd out there that I'm mailing to. Or not. That's not even that way today with the email. I've met so many people, and I've communicated with so many people, and you're real. And that keeps it real for me, too. So I thank God for Dean Huff. And I believe there were 26 issues of the Idle Babbler Illustrated published. I went for a couple years maybe without a newsletter. Then I started the Crack of Dawn Report. And that was another satirical... That was my video series. The Clanging Gong News. Let me explain this to you, because I have an opportunity to. And Monday, back to teaching. Thanks for indulging me here. You know that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I know all secrets and if I have all knowledge, but if I don't have love, I'm just a clanging gong. And here's another newsletter iteration where I took the opportunity to humiliate myself before other people could do it. But the funny thing is, some people didn't get it, because the subtitle on the masthead of my clanging gong news, I called myself a clanging gong. My clanging gong newsletter was, this was the subheading on every newsletter. By the way, all the back issues of the clanging gong news are on my website, martinzender.com. Go to martinzender.com, scroll down to the left, you'll see Clanging Gong News Archives. Go there. The subtitle was, quoting Paul, if I know all secrets and have all knowledge, yet have no love, I'm but a clanging gong. And then my little addition was, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. In other words, well, I do know all mysteries. I do know all secrets. I don't have love. But 2 out of 3 is not bad. I'm missing the love part, but I do know all secrets and I have all knowledge. 2 out of 3 isn't bad. I thought it was hilarious because it's pure satire. It's wrong on both ends, as if I don't have any love and as if I know all secrets and all mysteries. But I'm out there putting myself out there saying, well, if you want secrets of God and if you want all knowledge, I'm your guy. But if you want love, you'll have to go elsewhere. It's a poke at this concept of people who believe that anyone who is trying to distill the scriptures, trying to look up words, has a concordance, studying tools, looking at the meaning of Greek words. How many times have you been criticized for just being cerebral? You people, you need to get into the spirit, man. You need to get in tune with God, and you guys are too focused on study. You're too focused on words. You guys aren't very spiritual. It's all study. As if studying and spirituality are not related. As if they're sold separately. But we're always fighting this stereotype that because we are sticklers for words, because we want to know what God says, that somehow we're unspiritual and somehow we're unloving. And you know, my teaching has always been, and it is today, always will be, that love must be tough. Love must be tough. And yes, you can go somewhere to some site, to some newsletter, some Joel Osteen publication that tickles the hearing. And in these last days, there will exist tons of people who want the hearing tickled. They will heap up for themselves teachers in accord with their own desires. They just want to be soothed. They just want to feel good. They don't want you to be tough. They don't want you to say the Trinity is a diabolical teaching. They don't want you to say that if you're in church, you're under the influence of satanic teachings. They don't want to hear that all your life you've believed the wrong thing. They don't want to hear that you're right or wrong. So you come across as unloving. So many times I've been accused of being unloving just because I go out of my way to tell people hard things because I love them. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I can tell you what you want to hear. I can tell you that you're just fine. Doesn't matter what you believe. God is inside of you. You're good. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to make you feel bad. Am I doing you any favors when, relatively speaking, your Aeonian life is hanging in the balance? I'm not. And so that newsletter was, it was a joke. The title was a joke. Because I'm the most loving person I know, but my love is not emotion-based. It's not Hallmark love. It's not hearts and flowers and candy kisses. Not that I don't like that stuff, but we have a brief time together, and I'm not going to play a little violin song for you and flatter you, just like you don't flatter me. When I send my books out to people, to editors, I want them to tell me what's wrong with the book before it gets to the public. I don't want someone to, well, yeah, I kind of do want them to tell me I'm a great writer. This is wonderful, brilliant. We were just blown away by the depth of the words that you use. Yeah, of course, everybody wants to hear that, but that's just on the surface. Deep down, I want somebody to kick my ass. Say, this needs to be fixed. This is wrong. This is wrong. You're doing me a great favor. So as if I have no love, but I just went along with a stereotype for a joke, you know, hey, Paul says, you know, you have the choice. You have all wisdom, all secrets, but no love. Hey, I got 2 out of 3. Not bad, right? It's a joke. But people, most people didn't get it. There's a little subtle humor there. So I don't, for the record, I don't know all secrets. I don't have all wisdom, and I have tons of love. People have to make the same excuse for conservatism. I'm talking on the political realm here for a brief moment. Conservatism says that wants people to be self-starters. It's based on logic, not emotion. It's based on the results of policies, not the policies themselves. Good intentions don't count. And it seems like a tough thing. And you hear what people say about conservatives. They want people to die. They want people to starve. They hate minorities and all this. No, it's just that everybody needs to have an individual power. Everyone needs to know their value as a person and their value as a part of the community. No one wants to waste their talents and waste their God-given gifts, and God put it in humanity to be something in this world. And if we give you things that you think you want constantly, then it'll keep you down as a person. Same thing. People have to make excuses for it. It seems so unloving to be tough. That's the thing in this world today. Tough love, which is the most sincere, the most honest, and the most valuable kind of love, is disparaged today. And it's been substituted by emotionalism, by I love you and I want what's best for you. In the meantime, you know, you're feeding people candy for breakfast, you're giving them cotton candy for lunch, and you're giving them sweet tarts for dinner, and you're just petting them and loving them. Your children, telling your children that, oh, you're perfect, everything you do is right, everything you do is fine, because you don't want to upset them, you're afraid they won't love you for the rest of their lives. And this stuff is sickening. And if you read the scriptures, if you read any sort of strong teacher in the Bible, like Paul or Jesus Christ or Apollos, these men were strong, powerful teachers, and they had love, but it wasn't emotional love. It was logical love. It was scriptural love. It was tough love. And if you want to see tough love, let's look at Jesus Christ. How's that for tough love? That's tough love, man. You know, and Paul too. Paul said, do I have to come to you with a, you know, with a switch? Basically, do I have to come to you criticizing you and putting you in your place? And he did this. He was adamant. For instance, Corinth. Paul went after the church in Corinth for their problems. These are cows over here making noise. They're right, do you see them? Yeah, there's a guy. There's a guy coming up to the fence there. Yeah, I got the cows right next to me here. Could call this the cow cam, I guess. Did you hear my talk last night? If you didn't hear my talk last night in faith, let's go over and see this cow. If you didn't hear my talk in faith, or in Salisbury, wherever it is, you can go to my website. It's on the top. Go see this cow here. I was talking about cows and how all creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. I have a feeling this cow's groaning as well. Are you groaning? How's life treating you over here? Can you talk to my subscribers here? There he is. Yeah. I talked about you last night and your kind. That you're groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And that your deliverance depends on my deliverance. All right, I have to come first. Romans chapter 8, you see. You see, I know you're having a rough time. I see a fly on your snotty nose right now. And you've been subjected to the same... Now, he doesn't like to hear that. I was going to tell him he was subjected to the same realm of vanity that I've been subjected to. Didn't like to hear that. But listen, hey, I'm the key to your deliverance. Don't go away. I'm the key to your deliverance. Once the sons of God are liberated from this bondage to corruption, then all creation will be liberated behind it eventually. That's what I needed to tell that guy. He wasn't too happy about it. Well, he might be going back to tell the other cows back there. So that's the clanging gong news. Let me tell you something else that just occurred to me. The great thing about the truth is, then I'll wind this down. The great thing about the truth is it's timeless. And I thank God for that too. Remember, I started this thing a couple days ago telling you that I'm thankful that God had me get things pretty much lined up. I came into the knowledge of all wisdom, all secrets before I wrote anything. So I didn't have to tell people to ignore half of my life's work. And the other great thing is the truth is timeless. So anything anybody writes or speaks on the truth is just as true today as it was 100 years ago, as it was 1,000 years ago. How many businesses or jobs can you say that about? I mean, the thing with the business is you have to keep up with the times or you're going to go out of business. It's essential that this truth not keep up with the times. Don't ever... let this truth, I think one's cow's getting loose, going to come after me. Didn't like that. It's going to happen. You just have to be patient. No, yeah, it's hard for me to be patient too, I'll admit. Even the Holy Spirit is groaning within us, Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit's groaning. Everything's groaning. All creation's groaning. Their cows are banging against their walls. They're banging against their doors and walls, so are we. If you're not banging against the doors and walls of this existence, something's wrong, honestly. I've often said this. I'll close with this. If you're content in this life, I mean, I hesitate to say this because there is a measure in which we're to be content. But there is a measure where we're not supposed to be content. If you get too comfortable in this life, something's wrong. If you feel at home here, something's wrong. If things are going so well that you want Jesus Christ to delay his return, then something's wrong. So I think it's good every once in a while to ask ourselves the tough questions, like, do I want Jesus to return? Do I love his appearing? That's the way Paul puts it. All those who love his appearing. It helps to love his appearing. What helps toward that end is to be groaning, to be straining against the bonds of mortality. There, I got it out. Profound phrase. Straining against the bonds of mortality, like those cows are doing back there. They're straining against the bonds of mortality, and so am I. And I trust that you are too, and we're in this together. I'm signing off now from China Grove, North Carolina. I'm going to make a video with Waylon this afternoon, and I'm going to air that to you Monday, so you have that to look forward to over the weekend. I don't know what these cows have to look forward to over the weekend. Maybe a new bag of feed? I don't know.